Let's read together Ezekiel chapter 43. In this chapter, we have the return of the glory of the Lord to Israel and a description of the altar of sacrifice at the millennial temple. Let's begin by reading the first 12 verses. Ezekiel chapter 43, beginning at verse 1. Afterward, he brought me to the gate that faces toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. It was like the appearance of the vision which I saw when he came to destroy the city. The visions were like the vision which I saw by the river Kibar, and I fell on my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the temple by way of the gate which faces toward the east. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Then I heard him speaking to me from the temple while a man stood beside me. And he said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. No more shall the house of Israel defile my holy name, they nor their kings, by their harlotry or with the carcasses of their kings on their high places, when they set their threshold by my threshold and their doorpost by my doorpost, with a wall between them and me. They defiled my holy name by the abominations which they committed. Therefore I have consumed them in my anger. Now let them put their harlotry and the carcasses of their kings far away from me, and I will dwell in their midst forever. Son of man, describe the temple to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of the temple and its arrangement, its exits and its entrances, its entire design and all its ordinances, all its forms and all its laws, write it down in their sight so that they may keep its whole design and all its ordinances and perform them. This is the law of the temple. The whole area surrounding the mountaintop is most holy. Behold, this is the law of the temple. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Ezekiel chapter 43, with some background notes. Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48, which form the final division of the book of Ezekiel, all look forward to the future when the Lord will return to this earth and establish his earthly kingdom, which we call the millennium because it will last for 1,000 years, according to Revelation chapter 20. In chapters 40 through 42 of Ezekiel, we had a detailed description of the future temple that is to be built for the millennial kingdom of Christ. We emphasize that we don't believe this detailed description is to be interpreted as merely a symbolic description of the present-day Christian church. If it's only symbolic, then why all the details, including dimensions? Furthermore, if all of this is only symbolic, then to be consistent in our hermeneutics, that is, the principles of interpretation, we would have to say that the predicted millennial kingdom of Christ is also only symbolic of the church today, and furthermore, the predicted restoration of Israel is only symbolic as well. But we believe this is a literal temple to be built in the future. But the literal millennial kingdom of Christ and the spiritual restoration of literal Israel is not only predicted in the Old Testament, it is predicted in the New Testament as well, after the church had already been formed. Read Romans chapter 11 and Revelation chapter 20 in this connection. So to be consistent in our interpretation, we believe that the temple of Ezekiel's vision is to be a literal temple constructed on the new temple mount in Jerusalem when the Lord returns. We see in verses 10 through 12 here in Ezekiel chapter 43, that Ezekiel was to share with his fellow captives in Babylon all the details of this glorious future temple. As a result, the captives would be ashamed of how they had sinned and desecrated and defiled God's temple that Solomon built. God had allowed that temple to be destroyed by the Babylonians, and this was why they were now captives in Babylon. In verses 7 through 9, we see the ways in which the Jewish people had defiled the house of the Lord. They allowed temple prostitution. They practiced idolatry, even in the temple area. They did not treat the house of the Lord as separate and holy. And they defiled the whole temple complex by having the royal cemetery too close to the temple precincts. But the new future temple of the Lord's millennial kingdom would not be defiled, and the Lord would dwell in the midst of the restored house of Israel. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Ezekiel chapter 43. Doctrinal point number one, the glory of the Lord will return to the millennial temple. The glory of the Lord will return to the millennial temple. In Ezekiel chapters 10 and 11, Ezekiel saw the glory of the Lord departing from the temple, first from the Holy of Holies to the threshold of the temple, then from the threshold of the temple to God's throne chariot, and then hovering over the Mount of Olives to the east of Jerusalem, and then finally reluctantly leaving the nation. When the glory of the Lord departed from Israel, it did not return when the Jews returned from their captivity in Babylon, even though they rebuilt the temple under Zerubbabel. And the glory of the Lord did not return to the expanded and rebuilt temple of Herod the Great. And the glory of the Lord has still not returned to Israel and will not return to any temple that is built before or during the tribulation period of the future. But the glory of the Lord will return to the millennial temple. This glory of the Lord signifies his presence. This is what we refer to as the Shekinah glory. Shekinah meaning God's dwelling or presence. Notice that the glory of the Lord will return from the east, the same direction from which it had departed when Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. In the vision, Ezekiel heard the Lord speaking to him from the temple. Listen to what the Lord said here in verse 7. And he said to me, "Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever." So Jerusalem and the temple will be the headquarters, as it were, for the Lord's millennial kingdom. The glory of the Lord will return to the millennial temple. Doctrinal point number two, the sacrifice of the lamb will be remembered at the millennial temple. The sacrifice of the lamb will be remembered at the millennial temple. Verses 13 through 27. These are the measurements of the altar in cubits. The cubit is 1 cubit and a handbreadth, the base 1 cubit high and 1 cubit wide, with a rim all around its edge of 1 span. The altar hearth is 4 cubits high, with 4 horns extending upward from the hearth. The altar hearth is 12 cubits long, 12 wide, square at its 4 corners. And he said to me, "Son of man, thus says the Lord God, these are the ordinances for the altar on the day when it is made, for sacrificing burnt offerings on it, and for sprinkling blood on it. You shall give a young bull for a sin offering to the priests, the Levites, who are of the seed of Zadok, who approach me to minister to me, says the Lord God. You shall take some of its blood and put it on the 4 horns of the altar, on the 4 corners of the ledge, and on the rim around it. Thus you shall cleanse it and make atonement for it. Then you shall also take the bull of the sin offering and burn it in the appointed place of the temple outside the sanctuary. On the second day you shall offer a kid of the goats without blemish for a sin offering, and they shall cleanse the altar as they cleansed it with the bull. When you have finished cleansing it, you shall offer a young bull without blemish and a ram from the flock without blemish. When you offer them before the Lord, the priest shall throw salt on them, and they will offer them up as a burnt offering to the Lord. Every day for 7 days you shall prepare a goat for a sin offering. They shall also prepare a young bull and a ram from the flock, both without blemish. 7 days they shall make atonement for the altar and purify it, and so consecrate it. When these days are over, it shall be on the 8th day and thereafter that the priest shall offer your burnt offerings and your peace offerings on the altar, and I will accept you, says the Lord God. In the description of the temple courts in Ezekiel chapter 40, we read in verse 47 of Ezekiel 40, "And the altar was in front of the temple." Now here in the second half of Ezekiel chapter 43, we have a detailed description of that altar. We read that this altar will be consecrated with sacrifices and used for sacrificial offerings, and Levitical priests from the line of Zadok will minister before the Lord. Now the first logical question that should come to our minds when we read these verses is, what about these sacrifices anyway? How are we to explain these literal sacrifices? Doesn't Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 14 say, "But this man, that is Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God"? So how do we deal with the fact that there are going to be literal sacrifices altered on the altar of the millennial temple in the future when the Lord returns? This may at first appear to be an insurmountable problem, and we will certainly discuss it more than once in our talks on these concluding chapters of Ezekiel. But right now, let's consider a few important points to help us in our understanding of these future sacrifices. Number one, the passage in Hebrews in no way says that there won't be or can't be a literal temple in the future, or a literal altar in the future, or literal sacrifices in the future. Number two, the point that the author of Hebrews is making in chapter 10 is that the Old Testament sacrifices never took away a single sin. Their purpose was to point forward to the one great sacrifice of the Lamb of God for all time. Number three, as the Old Testament sacrifices look forward to the cross, so the sacrifices during the millennium will look back in remembrance of the work of Christ on the cross. They will be memorial in character, not efficacious. That is, they will no more take away sin than did the Old Testament sacrifices. And number four, remember that there will be many people born during the 1,000-year peaceful reign of Christ here on this earth, but not all will become believers, as we know from Revelation chapter 20. Even though the Lord will be here on this earth in His glory, people will need to be reminded and taught that salvation is necessary and only possible because the Lord Jesus went to the cross and died as the Lamb of God for the sins of this world. The literal sacrifices during the millennium will be that constant reminder. We will develop these points further in our talks from the next few chapters. The sacrifice of the Lamb will be remembered at the millennial temple. What about practical application from Ezekiel chapter 43? You can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. Now, we use that expression a lot about things in life, but here we mean it in reference to interpretation. To be consistent in our hermeneutics, or principles of interpretation, we can't take prophecies in a literal and symbolic way at the same time. When we see that messianic prophecies dealing with the first coming of Christ were fulfilled literally, then we are on safe hermeneutical grounds for interpreting the prophecies dealing with the second coming of Christ in a literal way. And if there is going to be a literal return of Christ and a literal millennial kingdom and a literal restored Israel and a literal millennial temple, then it stands to reason that there are literal sacrifices presented on a literal altar. You can't have everything else literal but spiritualize the sacrifices. And if you spiritualize everything, then you are inconsistent in your hermeneutics. You can't have it both ways.